I've got some announcements to make, but that's just going to have to go to the end. Just don't let me forget them, Brother Dean. If you'll just help me with that, I'd appreciate it. Oh, God's been good. 2 Samuel chapter 9 this morning. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. I tell you, when you can see people rejoicing in the Lord, knowing that they're carrying such a heavy load, that is what Christianity is all about. And I thank God for the altars. They're always open. It doesn't have to be just invitation time. And anytime's invitation time when God's working in a heart. And we sure want to keep these in special prayer. These folks you saw at the altar today and the ones you saw praising the Lord and running the aisles, carrying some heavy loads. But God's grace is sufficient. Amen. And let me just mention this. We've already mentioned Brother Rogers to pray for him. But oftentimes we'll pray for someone who's in the hospital and we forget the spouse. And the spouse can carry a heavy load. Mary. And so let's remember not only these that we've mentioned in the hospital and who are sick, but for their spouses as well, that the load that many are carrying right now. But it's great to know that God's grace is all sufficient. I try to remind myself often, and I want to remind you that God has given us grace. He gives us grace to the measure. It's not a generic grace. There are people carrying loads this morning that need more grace than I need today. And God's grace is like this suit I'm wearing. It had to be tailored to fit me. And it's not made for you. It's made for me. And I can go to a discount store and find slacks that are cut to a length for whoever can wear them. I'm glad God's grace is a tailored grace. It is to the measure. Amen. He is. And I tell you, the message that God has laid on my heart this morning, I just can't get away from it because it is all about grace. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 9. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, with me, please. And David said, "Is there yet any?" "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" Actually, it's Ziba, I'm sorry. Poor guy. And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is of the house of Maker, of the son of Amiel in Lodabar." And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and his servant, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. For as for Mephibosheth, saith the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we thank you already for how you've blessed. Father, thank you for your presence today. What a joy it is to know that we serve a living God. And Father, there should be nothing dead about us. We should rejoice in all that you've blessed us with, Father, and help us to be a people who would praise you continually. I pray that the praise of God would be upon our lips. I pray that the praise of God would be in our walk. Father, I pray that the praise of God would be all over us so that lost people can see what you've done in our lives. And Father, for what we can do for one another as the glory of God spills out of our lives into the lives of others. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd bless our time together in your word. Father, I pray that it'll be timely now. I pray that you'd give me the words that you want said in this message. And Father, I don't want to say one word more than you want said from this pulpit today. So I pray that you'd give me that unction and that Father, the knowledge that I need from heaven to preach what you want preached today. Father, meet the needs of your people. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that's unsaved, oh, I pray they not leave today until they know for sure that heaven is their home. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you, if you would, to turn back over to 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4 to give a little bit of background about what happened to Mephibosheth and what is being said about him here in chapter 9. And we'll be going back to chapter 9 for the message this morning. But in verse number 4 of 2 Samuel 4, And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse, that is Mephibosheth's nurse, took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. If you go back over to chapter 9, we find that Mephibosheth now comes back on the scene. We read in chapter 4 how that he was only 5 years old when word came that his father and his grandfather had been killed in battle. Mephibosheth's family throne, that is the throne of Saul, was now going to happen because a new household was now taking the throne. David had been anointed king. David, as you know, was on the run from Saul, Mephibosheth's grandfather, for a long period of time, and Saul was doing everything that he possibly could to kill David because he felt David was a threat to his throne. As we think about all that Saul did to David, and yet David always was ready to return kindness. He was always ready to do just the opposite of what Saul was wanting to do to him. Now, Mephibosheth was probably thinking as man would think, and that is that because my grandfather was so mean to David, my life has surely got to be in danger. He knew that his life would be threatened because really, it was the custom at that time that when a new king would ascend the throne, that he would get rid of anyone that he thought was a threat to his throne. And so often when a new king would go into reign, it would be a very serious time. It would be a deadly time for anyone that had anything to do with the previous reign. And so that's exactly what was going through the mind of Mephibosheth. And of course, he was just 5 years old, so he wasn't thinking a whole lot about it. But surely it was what was going through the mind of the nurse that was taking care of Mephibosheth. And so as we read back in chapter 4, after hearing the news of the death of Saul and Jonathan, the nurse that was taking care of Mephibosheth hurriedly flees for a place of safety, for she was fearing that Mephibosheth's life would be in danger, that he would be put to death being of the family of Saul. Well, as she is in her hurry to protect him, she drops him. And the word of God's very plain. It says that from that day on, Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. Probably when she dropped him, it probably crushed the bones in his ankles. And they just did not have the technology and the medical know-how that we have today to take care of things like that. So for the rest of his life, we find the description here in the Word of God. It says that Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. But let me tell you this morning that the story of Mephibosheth is a beautiful picture of God's grace. The story of Mephibosheth is a picture of the grace that God has shown to you and I today. And when you think about this, the picture of God's grace, and I hope you'll keep that thought in your mind because I want to come back to it at the end of the message. But as we think about Mephibosheth's plight, as we think about the condition that he was in, when we look at chapter 9 here, we find a picture, a beautiful picture of a crippled man and a king. And what a joy it is to be able to look at this story and see the goodness and see the mercy of God. You see, Mephibosheth was to be lame the rest of his life. We didn't know what was going to happen this morning in the Sunday school hour, but boy, things change quickly, don't they? We don't know from day to day what is going to happen. But we live by days, and we account our life by days. And when you think about the days that Mephibosheth was having to live, I couldn't help but think of David when we were talking about Mephibosheth here, how that David, when he penned the 23rd Psalm, he said something about days when he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And so as David was penning those beautiful words, could he not think about the days that Mephibosheth was having to live, the days that Mephibosheth was having to endure? And the only thing that was able to make a change in his life of any degree whatsoever was the gracious kindness of a king. When we look at Mephibosheth, we see the story of a crippled man and a king. We think of this thing that we've mentioned already this morning about days. And can I have you notice, first of all, as we read back in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4, the day he was dropped. The day Mephibosheth was dropped. We saw it in 2 Samuel 4, 4, and then it's made mention again in chapter 9 and verse number 3 when it says that he was a person who was lame on his feet. Mephibosheth was dropped, though no fault of his own. It was not his fault that he was lame on his feet. It was not his fault that he was having to endure the handicap that he was enduring. Mephibosheth was the product of another person's failure. When he was dropped, when he was just 5 years old, this nurse had caused his shame and she had caused his pain. Can I put you in the position or remind you of the position that we're in today? When we think of the condition that we are in as sinners who need to be saved by the grace of God, we need to understand that because of Adam's fall, we are byproducts of his sin. We are byproducts of his failure. Romans chapter 5. And if you turn to Romans, hold your place here in 2 Samuel. But if you'd look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 with me this morning, it's so vivid as we see the story of the fall of Adam and how that because of Adam's sin, death is passed upon all men. And we're born sinners. We don't become sinners. We're born that way. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, not some men, not of a certain nation, not of a certain race, not of a certain level of society." The Word of God says here very plainly that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, when Adam fell, we fell too. He was dropped. Mephibosheth was dropped, and because of the failure of that nurse to take care of him like she should, Mephibosheth was paying a price. And so because Adam fell, because Adam failed, you and I are paying a price as well. The day Mephibosheth was dropped, would you notice with me, secondly, he was dropped and he was now a cripple. Mephibosheth was unable to walk. And can I remind you, as I've mentioned already, that we too have been crippled by a fall. We have been crippled by the fall of Adam, and because of Adam's fall, we have all been affected. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience," and again this is given reference to Adam, "many were made sinners." We have been dropped. Mephibosheth was dropped, though it was no fault of his own. He was dropped and he was now a cripple. But would you notice with me, thirdly, under this, he was dropped and he now lived under a curse. As I've mentioned already, Mephibosheth lived every day out of fear of impending judgment and certain death because of the natural way that things would fall into place when another king would come into reign. Mephibosheth was fearing for his life because he was under a curse. He lived in constant awareness of his condemnation, of what he could face at any moment. And to make it even worse, the place that he went to hide, the place that he went to hide from the family of Saul, or the family of David, was a place called Lodabar. And Lodabar simply meant a barren place. It meant a lonely place. And we've got to understand that when we see ourselves as under the curse, we're only going to be in a lonely place, a barren place, when we're out there trying to do it on our own or trying to do it in a way that some man has designed for us. The only way to get peace, the only way to experience grace is to do it God's way. You see, the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" In this chapter, Paul was saying, I don't do right. The things I should do, I'm not doing. The things I should not do, those are the things that I'm doing. And Paul was so frustrated, he threw his hands up and he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" As sinners, we live in the pending judgment of a holy God. And I'm telling you this morning, we deserve that judgment. We deserve the wrath of God this morning because of our sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And that's all you have when you don't have Jesus. You have no hope. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, He is your only hope for the situation that you were born into as a sinner. He's the only one who can change your life. The day He was dropped. But oh, would you notice with me secondly this morning, the day He was picked up. Mephibosheth was picked up because of the loving nature of a king. He deserved the wrath from that king. David had every right to show his wrath towards Mephibosheth, toward anyone that had anything to do with the family of Saul. But look what happened here in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant." And listen to these wonderful words. "And David said unto him, Fear not. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." Oh, listen, Mephibosheth was being picked up by a loving king who had every right to put him to death. David was not like other earthly kings. As we've stated already, other kings would have put Mephibosheth to death. But David is described in the Word of God as being a man after God's own heart. And instead of showing hate, David had a desire, a burning desire, a responsibility in his heart, if you please, to show Mephibosheth just the opposite of what he deserved. He wanted to show him kindness. Oh, listen, I'm reminded here of the fact that when we think of the day that Mephibosheth was picked up, it's a reminder to all of us that we serve a God of grace. That we serve a God of grace. For when God should have judged us, when God should have written us off, we find the golden text of God's Word where it says, "For God so loved the world that instead of hate, He gave." Instead of hatred, instead of retribution, and instead of malice for what was done to His Son, God gave His only Son. So crippled Mephibosheths, just like us, who've been dropped, could be picked up. Psalm 40, verse number 2 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. And He, my King, did. He set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Oh, can you look with me back again at Romans chapter 5? And we're reminded of God's love. Verse number 8, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were in the condition that we read about a few moments ago in verse number 12, while we were yet sinners and deserved the wrath of God, instead of sending his wrath, he sent his son. He sent his only son to die on Calvary's cross so that a fallen society who had been dropped could be picked up. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have of Jesus in the story of Mephibosheth. Chapter 9, back in 2 Samuel, in verse number 1, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Do you see David here as being a picture of God? And Jonathan as being a picture of the Lord Jesus, and Mephibosheth as being us. And God, the King, has every right to pour his wrath out upon us. But he said, I'm going to show kindness to you for Jesus' sake. For my only son that I sent to the cross, I am ready to lift you up. I am ready to give you the life that you do not deserve. Oh, listen, Mephibosheth was picked up because his father Jonathan was willing to lay down his life. Say, what do you mean? If you read the story of Jonathan and what he did to David in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And listen to this. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. You see, when Jonathan removed his warrior's belt, and when he removed that girdle, he placed it around his anointed friend David. And in doing this, Jonathan was demonstrating his willingness to lay down his own life for David. Oh, listen, we need to remember that it was Jesus, the Son of God, who laid down his life at Calvary. He gave up heaven's glory to go to the cross to save people like us who are crippled by sin. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, talking about Jesus, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus set aside the throne of glory to go to the cross. Mephibosheth, the day he was dropped, the day he was picked up. But would you notice with me as we look at verses 7 through 13, we see the day he was restored. Verse number 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house.
Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Here's Mephibosheth restored. Did you see that in verse 7? I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You see, if we look at verse number 11, we see that King David told Mephibosheth that he was not just going to live at the king's palace. He was not going to be in jeopardy of being a servant. He was going to be at the king's palace, sitting at the king's table as one of the king's sons. You see, Mephibosheth had been restored to a family, to a royal family. And as we think of this, this overwhelming thought of this picture that we see of Mephibosheth here, when you are sitting at the king's table, now put yourself in the position of Mephibosheth. When you're sitting at the king's table, nobody's looking at your feet. Nobody's noticing what your feet and your legs look like. Mephibosheth at the king's table was an equal. Mephibosheth at the king's table was sitting there with all of the other sons and daughters of David, but his crippled feet were under the table. It was under the table of God's grace. And what a joy it is to know that as crippled sinners who have been a product of Adam's fall, we are sitting under the table of God's grace, covered by the tablecloth of blood of the Lord Jesus. We have been restored. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited this morning. To know that as Mephibosheth, I am nothing, and by the way, neither are you, nothing more than a dead dog, but Jesus. And a loving king has shown his grace and his mercy, and we are sitting at the king's table. And if we're willing to put everything in the hands of the king and get it off of ourselves, everything that is ugly about us is under the tablecloth. It's under the grace of God. Can I give you this illustration in closing? The Bible, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, is a photo album that is filled with pictures of God's grace. We've just looked at one. This man, Mephibosheth, did you get the setting of this beautiful picture here of Mephibosheth? There it is in the palace. Someone has put it this way. The palace of King David. Gold and bronze fixtures gleam from the walls. Lofty wooden ceilings crown each spacious room. In the banquet room, David and his children gather for an evening meal. Absalom, tanned and handsome, is there, as is David's beautiful daughter Tamar. The call to dinner is given. The king scans the room to see if all are present. One figure, though, is absent.
And then all of a sudden, everyone sitting around that table hear this clump and scrape and the dragging of feet. The sound coming down the hall echoes into the chamber. They hear that dragging of feet. They hear that scraping. They hear that clump of a leg that may go down in an awkward manner. Finally, the person appears at the door and slowly shuffles to his seat. It's the lame Mephibosheth, seated in grace at David's table. And the tablecloth, as we've said already this morning, covers his feet. Now the feast can begin. I like the way Julie Martin put it. Grace in a barren place. And we need to remember this. I was that Mephibosheth, crippled by my twisted pride and hiding from you in a barren place where you could not find me, where you could not give me what I deserve, but somehow you found me. And I don't understand why, God, but you gave me what I do not deserve. You not only spared my desolate life, but you made it bountiful. And here at your table, I thank you, my King. Oh, listen, we need to thank our King today for His kindness. We need to thank Him for the fact that we've been restored even though we're unworthy. Verse 8, Mephibosheth described himself as a dead dog. God has made a provision for every man and woman to be saved through His precious Son, the King, my friend. If you have never had a time in your life where you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the King is calling you to the table. He's calling you to the table, and He has to offer today for you saving grace. And if you'll just put it all under the table and trust Him, He knows your every weakness, He knows your every need. And we need to remember the fact that as we serve our God, we don't have to worry about our crippled spiritual feet. You see, He's told us that if we'll just trust Him and live for Him, we can mount up on eagle's wings and serve the King today. Can I end with this statement? I started the message by saying that the message was entitled, A Crippled Man and a King. You're looking at a crippled man. And I'm thankful I serve the King. Amen. Whose grace is so abundant. Whose grace is so real. As I said earlier, to the measure of every need that you and I face in life today. And friend, if you're here and you're unsaved and you've never had a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is ready to accept you and put you under His table if you'll accept His grace, the love of Jesus, who can change your life and put you at the table of the King. Let's bow our heads.